or more than double that this year again. We are spending about $10 billion more on health and education this year than we did when I became president. The elementary educational bill has got nearly $2 billion in it just to take care of poor kids. The poverty bill will have nearly $2 billion. We'll raise poverty over what it was last year, although we've got all the demands of Vietnam. We'll raise Social Security. We'll raise minimum wages. We'll raise the number of kids go to college. This year, the federal government helped 750,000 go through college that didn't do it before.
That's the great thing.
We got 86 million people working. 86 million. That's nearly 6 million more than we had 6 years ago. That's damn near a million a year that have got jobs. And we've got it down to where the average married man's under 2% unemployed. And they're shifting, moving from job to job. The youngsters, we've got 600,000 Negroes that don't have training. 400,000 of them adults, 200,000 of them are kids.
Well, there is where I would give them what they need. But I think what I'm really saying is that all these things that have been done are kind of obscured by the complaints that there are cuts for them.
I'll tell you what Stroberg did, Bobby and Rebikoff. Rebikoff has done us a great disservice. They had the hearing, and they said the cities have great needs, and the mayors are entitled to more consideration, and the governors are entitled to more consideration. We have given this administration $100 billion in grants and aids, but they're entitled to several billion. All right, I come up with a $5 billion bill for the cities, and the Senate cuts it to $2 billion. And I asked them to offer an amendment to raise it back to my figure. They don't do it. I come up with $1.75 billion for poverty. The Senate decides and raise it to 2.5. It comes out and they only got 20 votes. So they cut it down. It gets back to Alice. Alice said, hey, if they just 20 of them over there for poverty, we ought to work on it. So Jerry Ford and the Republicans get together. They cut my figure of $1.75 billion that I'd already paid through the House before these bank boys got on it. They cut it to $1.6 billion. So then we go back and we try to get them to offer an amendment to raise it back to our original figure, $1.75 billion, and the Senate wouldn't even offer it. Mike Matadors went to Bobby, said, do you offer it? He didn't offer it. Couldn't get it offered. If we hadn't got it offered, we wouldn't have got over 30 votes, but we wanted to make a record. So then you get $1.6 billion. So Schreiber thought it's time to run for governor of Illinois, and he got a big press conference, and he made a big pitch at Dundee and said, I'm going to seriously consider running for governor of Illinois. Well, a man oughtn't to do that on the court or on a poverty job any more than Harry Hopkins ought to, WPA, but he did. And he came out and said it, and then he called me and told me, and I said, I think it's a mistake for you to be putting heat on this way. But he said, you're going to call a press conference and tell the people that I wasn't to blame, that it was the Congress to blame. And I said, well, I don't think you better talk about anybody to blame. What we better do is get our program for next year. This is water over the dam. Well, he didn't listen. He called a press conference anyway, and he did say that the president asked for $1.75 billion, and the Congress only gave him $1.6 billion. So it's a damn mean Congress. But all the time, you got every paper in America, and you got every columnist, all of them saying that the people voted against the Great Society. Now, I don't think there's any question what they did vote against the rioting. I think that you ask Paul Douglas, and he'll tell you, and you ask anybody else, every place I went, they told me. We just got scared to death of Martin Luther King and Stokely Carmichael coming in here and talking about how they were going to eat the white man up. And that black power thing scared them. But there's that. So he's got everybody talking. Now, he hasn't got the votes, and he really wants to quit. But he told me that he doesn't have the IQs in Congress. He can't pass the bill anymore. And he's real worried about it. I said, well, quit crying. Let's go to fighting. Let's don't be bullying. Let's go to work. Get your program together. 49 different ones now. Well, that's about where we are. But what I'm going to do, if I can try to get people aboard, I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to give the Westmorelands what they need out there. We're leveling off. We won't have as much put in this year in the way of build-up that we had last year. We've been at this thing only since July 65, about a year and a half. We have turned it around in a year and a half. We've been at the poverty thing about 2 years and a half, and we have turned it around considerably, and we're on the move in both places, and I'm going to continue to be on the move in the fight on two fronts, the fight against aggression and the fight against the ancient enemies, and we're going to move on both fronts with full steam.
That ought to be the theme.
I think that you could help me some if you would call up and say, I'm out of this thing, but the president has sent word. I wouldn't say I talked to him at all. The president has sent word to me that he didn't want to get me involved in a lot of things outside of my sphere. But he and I have had the same outlook for a long, long time on some of these things. He wants to talk to me on some domestic things. And I want to be brought up to date so that I can talk. And Bill, I have the impression that we ought to go ahead on the ancient enemy front, that is health, and that is disease, and that is education, and that is literacy, and that is conservation, and those things. And while we are unemployment's down, we haven't got everything whipped, and I want to ask you this, how can we do that without asking for a little taxes? If we have a budget of 135 to 140 billion, we will have a deficit from 15 to 20 billion unless we have a tax bill. No economist in this country, I haven't been able to find one, that recommends more than 5 billion out of the economy. And they all do that only on one consideration, that you put about that much back in Social Security. They think everything's softening. They think you got a very soft spring. They think it, the 17 to 18% capital investments dropped to 5. And they see American Motors laying a bunch of people off, and they're all scared to death. They see the taxes. They estimated we'd have taxes next year of $124 billion. It's down to $119 now, $5 billion in the last 3 weeks. So they're afraid. The Council of Economic Advisors are the damnedest liberals you ever saw. But 2 months ago, they wanted a 10% tax bill. They won't even go for a 5% today. Now, I don't know this, but I was told this morning when I hung up the phone, I called you just to visit, because I'm going out and meet the press in about 30 minutes. And I just wanted to philosophize some with you. I've talked to two people, Joe Califano and you, this morning. But I was told that that Bill worked yesterday, didn't think we could afford a tax bill. Now, I believe that we will not get a tax bill. And I don't believe that it is absolutely imperative that this rich country, I don't think John D. Rockefeller, I think he can afford an overdraft for a few months, and I think a rich country can. But I think from a strategical standpoint, and from a fiscal standpoint, and from an honest standpoint, from a desirable standpoint, the president ought to ask for it. And my feeling is that if the president doesn't ask for it and doesn't show that he's willing to get by on a deficit of less than what Eisenhower had, say 11 or 12, in order to do that, he's got to have a tax bill of 5, 6, 7. Then they just take all these damn programs out on the ground that they can't have a $20 billion deficit.
I agree with you entirely.
You're absolutely... Now, my little brothers say that you can't have a tax bill because you will cause a recession. And the best way to prevent a recession is to prevent it before it starts. And when you see inventories accumulating, when you see people being cut off, when you see car schedules and housing starts drop from $1.5 billion to 800,000, you see all these things, the indicators that employ people. You see all that, then you come along and say, well, I'm going to put an extra burden on him. Then the old man's going to fall. Now, I think if you just asked to be brought up to date and got into that, and then say, okay, how much would be your tax bill and how would you raise it? And he's going to tell you that, and then I think you can kind of give me a little help to see before I get back next week on the meetings. Now, my judgment is that our deficit this year will be... I'd guess 116, 128, around 11 to 12 billion. I can stand that. I can stand that. 4 or 5 billion of it's high cost of money, having to absorb a lot of loans, export, import, World Bank, others that high money brought us, high interest rates, and the rest of it's Vietnam. We're staying within our budget on other items. Those two things, tight money in Vietnam. We can have that 11 or 12 billion. Now the next thing is next year. So we go from 127, and McNamara comes along and takes 5 or 6, and that gets you up to 130, 2 or 3, and then you got to have 2 or 3 additional to add on to what we had on these other fronts. If you got to have 400 million for demonstration cities, you didn't have any last year. We just passed the bill. You got to have money for rent supplements. You got to have money for teachers' corps. Not a lot, but some. You got to have all you had for poverty and maybe a little more. You got to have all you had for elementary education and maybe a little more. You got to have all you had for higher education and a little more. Now, we can hold back the buildings and the concrete and the structures, but we can't hold back the kids. And then you get a budget between 135 and 140. And let's just say for the purposes of estimating, it's 137. And you got a revenue of roughly 118. So you got $19 billion deficit. Now, the most desirable thing would be a $7 billion tax bill where you could say, well, we got the same deficit on our head, but we got a war and we got two wars and we're going to fight both of them. We're not going to surrender on either front. I think you can make it stand up. Now, I don't think that they give it to you and they might cut some of your program, but you'd have a hell of a lot better chance to get elementary education with a $12 billion deficit than you will for $19 billion.
I think you're 100% sound in that
sound. They're going to move to Vietnam. They're not going to take from it, so it's got to come somewhere. And if you don't have the revenue there, it's going to come off the things that that we like.
And I don't agree with the economists that if the president presents this type of a program or this type of a budget, that it's going to further aggravate the economy. The size of the budget itself is going to have a great impact the other way. And I think what you have outlined is exactly right. Exactly right approach. Cannot be
irresponsible. Well, I'm going to be on TV at 10 o'clock, and you get turn it on and see what they say, and I'm just not going to say anything. They wanted to see me, and I can't hide it. I told them I didn't have a thing in the world, but they want to ask a bunch of questions. What would you think about the Salisbury article?
I'd be very explicit. I wouldn't get into a fight with him. I would say that you have made a very careful check, as you have done throughout. That the order that you have about military targets has been observed to the best of the ability of the men who are fighting. And there are inevitably civilian casualties. No one has ever said there were not. And every loss of life, civilian and military, is a matter of deep regret. But there is no way to conduct this thing without having it. And these are the facts. I would level with them on the facts. And I would say that you regret it very much, and you have said since Baltimore and throughout that the way to do it is stop all the killing.
What would you say about Manchester?
About Manchester, I would say is I would completely stand apart from that.
How?
You would say that you don't think it appropriate for you to make any comment on this regrettable incident. And use the word regrettable. That's perfectly all right. Everybody, even the closest friend to the family, has been regretting. I would say maintained a very dignified aloof from that incident. Not get yourself involved. They'd be very anxious to get you in the picture now.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And of course, from all indications, the book's going to be a very bad book. But I would just say that you, along with almost all American people, think the whole matter is a matter of very great regret, all concerned. And not to comment.
Maybe I'd just say that I don't think that I should have anything to say, and I've asked my, and I've asked.